Good morning. Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. Delighted to have you with us on this beautiful Friday. Hope everyone has a good weekend. We've got B92's got a remote tomorrow, so we'll be busy, and we invite you out to that. You can check that out on our website. We're very pleased, a very timely show, and very pleased to have in studio with us Max Driver. He's the Chief Ranger for the Georgia Forestry Commission with for Harrelson, Carroll, and Douglas counties. Good morning, Max.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. Look at, it's got that Sam Elliott voice going. It's pretty good. A lot to talk about, so we're just going to dive right in. Maybe when we bring you back the second time, we'll get a little more about your personal history, how you got involved.
That's fine. We got a lot to talk about.
We do. Last week, and I think again, about a week ago, Colin started doing some programs about how we need to really be cautious about burning, you know, burning in the backyard, burning leaves. This was a very dangerous time for brush fires, for fires to get out of control. And of course, we had a little rain, I think, on Wednesday, a little quick line of storms came through, and then we're supposed to have some more this Sunday. What's the current conditions, and what's the danger level people need to know about as far as brush fires in our region?
As of today, any rain that we got is dry. The forest floor is dry at the moment. We had a wildfire last night.
Really? Where?
Yesterday evening. I believe it was out near off 113. The temp, like Center Point Road area, it wasn't very big. The fire department had a control by the time we got there, but regardless, they did call for our assistance, and it was a wildfire. So rain that came in that we got, with those 40-mile-an-hour winds behind it, is dry.
Give us, as we talk more about this, give us a kind of a description. It seems like these wildfires and these brush fires are fast moving. I guess it depends a lot on the winds, of course, correct?
Correct. The two things that influence the how fast a fire moves are going to be wind and terrain. So these fires that are wind driven, the wind is pushing those fires through dried brush and what we call light flashy fuels, which is pine straw, grass, leaves, those kind of things burn fast, burn rapidly, and the fire is able to progress through those pretty quickly. The other factor is terrain. So fire moves 16 times faster up a hill with no wind influence.
Because of the wind. With no wind influence?
With no wind. That's,
why is that?
Because have you ever struck a match and held it upside down?
Yeah,
and it climbed up the matchstick and burned your fingers really fast.
Really?
So the fire preheats all the fuels right above it, directly above it, and as it makes its run up that hill, it's progressively drying everything out up that hill extremely fast.
So that explains the California Palisades fires.
Those fires come, and then when you have winds coming behind that fire pushing it up the hill, it flies up the hill. On the opposite end of that, fire backs down a hill extremely slow.
Really?
Especially this last week, we fought a lot of fast-moving fires. We tried to fight a lot of those fires downhill if we could. If we can put a brake in on the downhill side and let the fire back down to the brake, it's a lot safer for us. We got a lot less likelihood of that fire jumping our brake.
After seeing what happened in California recently, I think, you know, people are more concerned, more attentive to this. But if you've got a brush fire anywhere near you, you immediately start thinking about the threat to your home.
Right.
And I guess homeowners, when you come out and there's a brush fire, a wildfire, I guess you have a whole lot of homeowners that are really concerned.
We do. And a lot of the times our fires, because... So, for instance, in Douglas County last year, we only had 7 wildfires. Douglas County is a lot more populated than Harrelson and Carroll. We usually get our fires in the more rural areas where homes are a lot further apart from each other. But, like on Saturday, we saw this last week, not just Saturday, we saw fires in areas that had a lot more houses, residential areas close together. And yes, everybody was concerned about the safety of their homes and that kind of thing. So it is hard. It's hard when you get on scene to something like that to mitigate all those things. And that's really where we lean on the fire department. Our local fire departments, Carroll, Harrelson, Douglas counties, I got to give so much props to those guys and girls because they did a fantastic job this last week. They were spread thin all over. They're all over the place.
And they're the ones that call you out when
correct.
They need assistance.
Correct. So they call us when they can't get water on the fire because we, 99% of the time, we're not fighting a fire with water. We do have some water capabilities and some access to water if need be, but for the most part, the fire department is going to protect all the structures on scene, and we're going to go in the woods and fight the fire in the woods. So, yes, we rely heavily on them to protect those structures because we might be down in the woods a couple acres back into the woods, and we can't see what's going on with all the structures.
So how do you fight a fire without water?
That's a good question. The fire triangle, what a fire needs to burn is heat, fuel, and oxygen. So we try to remove, if you can remove one of those things from that triangle, then essentially you can put that fire out. What we try to remove 99% of the time is the fuel. So when we're talking about fuel, we're calling fuel, like I said earlier, grass, pine straw, leaves, needles. That's primarily what our fires are burning through. They're ground fires, they're moving across the ground. They're burning that kind of stuff. But trees, especially small sapling pine trees that are really close together, they lend themselves to pretty increased fire behavior, especially when the wind's blowing. The fire will climb those pine trees and it'll move through the tops of those pine trees really fast. But so when we respond on scene, we respond with a bulldozer, and we're gonna cut, I guess for lack of a better term, in layman's terms, a trail all the way around the fire. We call it a fire break. So we're going to remove all the fuel down to dirt. Usually it's one bulldozer blade wide. If we've got a fast moving fire, it might be two or three if we have time to widen it out. But essentially we're going to put a dirt trail around that fire and let that fire burn to our break and stop it that way. Or sometimes we have to burn off of our break.
And we were talking before the program, that's where the phrase, when you fight fire with fire.
Correct, yeah. So if that fire looks like it's moving too fast towards our break, we will start another fire off of our break. That fire, the larger fire that's moving through the woods, is pulling a lot of oxygen out of the air. And what we would call the backfire is going to start backing off our line, and those two fires are going to pull themselves together, and hopefully by the time the primary fire that we were fighting reaches our back end fire, there's enough room between that and our break to stop it. And hopefully our back end fire has consumed all the fuel in the primary fire's path.
Well, before we definitely want to talk more about that, but before we go to our first commercial break, just give us real time, what's the current? You mentioned that the storm that came through Wednesday, I believe it was, it's already dried out. So at this moment, what's the current conditions in terms of your concern about fires getting out of control?
As of now, we still have high concerns of fires getting out of control. Current conditions are low humidity today in the 20s, wind gusts up around the 20s.
Or more.
And that can change. That's if you're properties on top of a hill, you're getting a lot more wind than a 20 mile an hour wind gust. So as of today, the woods are dry. Please check the weather before you burn. If you can wait until we get some rain, hopefully this Saturday, this weekend, we get some rain coming in. After that rain comes in, I'll feel a lot better about the conditions ahead of that. But as of now, we are dry. It's humid. Please take caution.
What's the current status of getting permits? What kind of permits are out there that apply to something like this?
So we will still issue permits unless certain parameters dealing with a red flag day, which is extremely low humidity and high winds. And then smoke management is a big reason why we'll deny some permits. If it's a day where the smoke isn't going to be good enough to get out of the area quickly, mm-hmm. and dissipate well, then we'll deny permits at that point. But there's a lot of and that's statewide. So our rules are statewide, and then there's also rules at the county level. We don't really control those things at the county level. Those things are kind of left up to the county. Whether there are certain counties that enforce, counties and cities that enforce, you know, if the winds are above this this amount, this mile an hour, then it's a burn ban that day.
Sometimes you see off in the distance, you know, this massive fire, which mm-hmm. is, you know, a forest fire, a wildfire, but, you know, you assume it's a controlled burn.
Right.
And those are mainly timberlands that are mm-hmm. being burned so that the timber grows better, I assume.
Yes, it's. I mean, a good fire, we have a saying at the Forestry Commission that good fires prevent bad fires.
Yes.
So if we can go in and burn a property on a day that we deem a good day to burn, then that prevents a fire on that property on a bad day from wreaking havoc on that property.
And wreaking havoc because of the fuel. You said heat, fuel, and oxygen. The fuel, the underbrush, the dead trees that are on the ground, all that stuff.
Right.
And then brings me back to California. That was the contention mm-hmm. there, that those forests weren't, you know, properly, quote-unquote, managed.
Right, and that's why we push as much prescribed burning as possible, and we do offer burn assist
okay.
to the landowners in these counties.
We're going to take a break, come back, we'll talk about prescribed burning
that'll
and
work.
A lot more with Max Driver, Chief Ranger, Georgia Forestry Commission, for Carol Harrelson and Douglas after these words.
Oak Mountain Academy is an innovative school of academic excellence celebrating over 61 years. I'm Patrick Curran, head of school, inviting you to join us on the mountain to see our mission and vision in action. Academic excellence, a faith-based environment, and dynamic opportunities are just a few of the reasons our families choose Oak Mountain Academy. Academic scholarships and tuition assistance are available. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop. Seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Gregg, your host. Max Driver is our guest, Chief Ranger, Georgia Forestry Commission, serving Carol Harrelson Douglas. And we're now talking about prescribed burning. So what is prescribed burning, and particularly for people in Carol and Harrelson, I guess Western Douglas, when would it apply and how should they go about obtaining prescribed burning from the Georgia Forestry Commission?
Yeah, so prescribed burning essentially is trying to maintain or protect or manage a property with fire. And that's one of the best practices. It's an ancient practice to manage forests that way. The Indians managed forests that way. They did. The earth has managed itself with wildfire since the beginning of time. It is a natural thing. Fire, a lot of forests are adaptive to fire, but when you remove fire from those forests and those lands and those areas for years and years and years, you get this buildup on the ground of what we call duff, which is pine straw. And
call it what?
Duff.
Duff. D-U-F-F?
That's
like
correct.
Hillary Duff?
yeah, I guess so.
Gee.
So duff is what we call it. That is just the buildup of pine straw and leaves and debris on the forest floor that over years and years and years, dead trees, and I mean, it just lends itself to a tight compaction of fuel.
But it may take multiple prescribed burnings to get rid of all of it.
Right. So when if you wanted to go in and burn that a forest floor that hasn't seen fire since in 50 years, or you'd never know if it's ever seen it before ever. If you go in there and burn it the first time on a day like, say, a Saturday, if you burn it on a day like Saturday with the humidity the way it was and the winds the way it was, it's going to destroy the trees inside of there because those trees, those root systems are very shallow. It's got so much duff on the forest floor. The root systems just keep on coming up and keep on coming up. So that fire, when it goes through there and burns all that, it's going to singe those roots really bad and damage a lot of those trees.
Wow.
Versus if you have a property, a nice pine stand that gets burnt every other year, and it has been that way for 25 years, 30 years, you can burn that pine stand when it's hot outside. You can run a scorching hot fire through there and rip it across the forest floor in there. But those trees that have seen fire for years and years, their root systems are deep, and they've got down into the soil, and they can really withstand themselves to a whole lot more fire. But you have a lot more control fire moving through that because you only have 2 years of fuel on the ground versus 25 years. Of fuel on the ground. You got dead trees and 25 years of fuel on the ground. It's just like having gasoline in there.
So effectively, is this the best method to protect a house or a barn or structures by being sure that the forest land around those structures are managed?
I mean, maybe not the best. I mean, if you're truly scared to death your house is going to burn to the ground, maybe live in an apartment building. That might be. Move to the big city. But, it is one of the best ways to protect your property, to manage your property.
Along the same lines, say you have a house out in the country. Mm-hmm. A lot of people in Harrelson, Carroll, Western Douglas do. So how far should your tree line or should the house be to the trees?
It really depends. For that it's personal preference. I would say if you have nice mature trees around your house, those aren't the type of lands that we see what we call a crown fire, which is a fire moving through the treetops, consuming and barely even touching the ground, but moving quickly through the treetops. Those are a lot more likely in like around here in younger pines that are really close together. Mm-hmm. The tight groups of those trees that are really close together, they're typically 20, 30 feet tall. But the big spread out like hardwoods and mature pines, with a managed forest floor, you have a more likelihood of you letting the leaves pile up on your roof and stuff like that, and the ember landing in the leaf litter that's been sitting in your gutter for the last 2 years, than a fire actually running down to your house.
Or longer, actually.
Anyway. Right.
how often do you see wildfires, forest fires, brush fires start by lightning?
Rare.
Is it rare?
It is rare. Wow. Around here, we don't have a lot of, I guess what you would call dry lightning incidences around here.
What's that? Do you know?
I'm not. We typically have our storms are followed or have rain at the same, versus out west, they can have a lot of lightning events that aren't followed by rain or include rain.
What's the current state of arson in our region?
We do have some arson in our region.
What's
in
the
our
penalty
region
if you're convicted?
I'm not sure. I guess it would depend on your reasonings behind if you were trying to burn somebody's house down, or if you were just. Okay. If you're just joyriding, lighting the woods on fire, because we do have that in Harrelson County, unfortunately. We have, last year of our 51 wildfires we had in Harrelson County, we had 17 of them listed as incendiary, which means they were started on purpose.
Yeah, I think I remember years past we've done a couple of stories on that. And that's just what, kids being stupid or what?
It's so hard to tell. So our investigators can find the point of origin of the fire most of the time. But without seeing somebody light that fire or finding a device they used to light that fire, it is extremely hard to prove their intentions or why or even who it was. It's just one of, you take a lighter to some pine straw right off the side of the road by a pine stand and start you a little fire with the lighter. And I mean, there's no evidence behind that.
Right.
There's really no way to tell. We can kind of figure out where it started from, but it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell who or why.
Campfires any concern anymore?
I think we had a couple campfires last year. But nothing really of a whole lot of concern. Majority of it is debris burn. It's people burning their leaves.
What do you tell people? I mean, you know, it seems like some people are like, they'll burn every leaf they've got on their property, and then other people won't touch it. when somebody's inclined to be a leaf burner in their backyard or in their whatever,
right?
How do you tell them to go about doing it?
Carefully and just check the weather. Know the weather. Check the weather. Call us and call our office. We are all professional, certified burners. We go through the steps necessary, the weather courses that we undergo, the studies that we've done on fire and weather behavior. We'll be more than happy to answer the phone and tell you whether it's a good day to burn or not.
You mentioned Harrison County. Do you have any other numbers in terms of the types of fires?
I do.
Okay, what are they?
So in Harrison County last year, we had 51 wildfires. We had 17 of those that we deemed incendiary, which means they were started on purpose.
Wow.
16 of them were a debris burn. And the rest of them were kind of miscellaneous. I think we had there was some machine use in there, which we, you know, that could be chains dragging on the side of the road, a flat tire throwing some sparks on the side of the road. In Carroll County, we had 42 wildfires. About half of those were debris burns. And then the rest were, we don't really have a lot of incendiary here in Carroll County. Majority of those were debris burns, escape prescribed burns. There was about 100 acres total in Carroll County got burnt last year with wildfires, and almost 500 in Harrelson County were burnt because of wildfires. And only seven wildfires in Douglas County last year. Douglas County, just we don't see the same wildfire numbers.
It's all paved over, so yeah, no problem. Wow. One thing, so what about the best times of the year? If you're a leaf burner, and what's the, or you have, it doesn't have to be leaves. I mean, you can just have, you know, some old lumber or whatever that. What's the best time of year to burn that stuff?
So the burn ban.
Okay.
I know everybody's heard of the burn ban.
Sure.
The burn ban is from May 1st to October 1st.
So this is every year, May 1st to October 1st.
Correct.
I've heard of the burn ban, but I didn't know the date.
So any time outside of those dates, you're allowed to burn.
Without a permit.
If it's a hand pile. Which means if you were in your yard cleaning it up with your hands, stacking some leaves and sticks and stuff up, you do not have to have a permit. If you piled it up with the tractor or anything like that, you do have to have a permit. But with that being said, the hand pile has to meet a checklist that is 25 feet from a wood line, 50 feet from a structure, and you have to have a way to put it out. You have to be there with it. Whether you have tools and you scrape a little brake around it or a charged water hose, whatever that may be, you have to be there with it. But outside of those burn ban dates, welcome to burn. We want people to be able to burn their natural debris. Now, you can't burn lumber and pallets and cardboard and paper and all that. That stuff is illegal to burn.
Is it?
It is.
It's wood.
But as soon as it goes through a processing mill, a lumber company, or a lumber mill, it's not deemed a natural product anymore.
Oh, really?
So,
but now, can you get a permit between May 1st and October 1st, like a special variance or something?
Agriculture can, but you have to own at least 5 acres, and you have to prove it's for agriculture reasons.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and wrap it up with Max Driver, but first these words.
The AP Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined advanced placement curriculum track to earn a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically prepared students to pursue college-level studies throughout 17 AP courses in 5 subject categories while enrolled at OMA. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop. Seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at tanner.org.
Okay, good. Max Driver's in studio, Chief Ranger, Georgia Forestry Commission. We're out of time today, but I think you wanted to give a shout-out to your colleagues.
Yes, I'd love to give a shout-out to my guys, my firefighters back at the unit, Ori Garrett, Brandon Justice, and John Kilgore. They have absolutely been laying it on the line this last week, responding to almost 30 wildfires. And all the local fire departments, Carol Harrelson and Douglas RFDs, they're the real heroes. They've been holding down these structures and everything. They were absolute tremendous help to us over the weekend and this last week.
And if people want to know more, where's your office and how should they contact you?
So our office is right down here at 564 Old Noonan Road, right across from the county bus barn. Stop by, see us. If we're not there, leave us a message. And the phone number for our office is 770-836-6715. If you got questions about burning or anything like that, please give us a call. If we're not in office, it will go to our dispatch, and you can leave our dispatch a message, and they will page us, and we'll get back with you as soon as we can.
Our gratitude to Max Driver and everybody with the Georgia Forestry Commission for the important work to keep us safe, and we thank him for coming in. We look forward to having him come back soon. And we thank you for listening, and go out and make it a great day and a great weekend. You're in Tune 2 WLBB Carrollton.